Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Tuesday, September 19th. I hate injuries. I really do. And this sucks for Nick Chubb. Of course, we will talk about it on the show today. But just in general, I mean, this guy, that's a devastating injury. Wishing him the best in his recovery. 28-year-old running back, too. He's no spring chicken. But one of my favorite players to watch of this generation. Just absolutely brutal. Before the fantasy stuff, just brutal. But of course, we're going to talk about the waiver wire on the show today. I'll give you some defenses to stream. And by the way, over at FTNFantasy.com, I have a new way to answer your should I drop this player question. Honestly, I couldn't answer them in a good way before because every league is different. You have different amounts of teams. You have different amounts of starting spots, bench spots, etc. So guess what I did? I whipped out some math, and it's not even complicated math. It's math that you can do with your cell phone calculator to figure out if a player should be dropped based on my rest of season rankings. That is in the waiver article over at FTNFantasy.com. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. All right, let's get into it. If he happens to be available in your league, and chances are he might, I don't know how, but he's available in over 35% of ESPN and Yahoo leagues. Kyren Williams would be a 50-plus percenter this week. I know he's probably not available in your league, and that's fine. If he's not, then we'll move on to the next guy. But if he is, he should no longer be. That's kind of crazy, and especially now with Cam Akers out of the mix. We'll move on to number two because this is really the big one of the week. It is Jerome Ford, 25 to 50% on Jerome Ford. I am going to stick inside of those numbers with the exception maybe I go to 51, 52, 53, but I don't go to 75 if I recommend 50%. I'm going to stick to my numbers. I always stick to these numbers. Now, I may fluctuate based on what my league does, if they're more or less likely to spend money on waivers in FAB, but I stick to my numbers because I keep getting that question. Well, if you really need them, would you go to 75? Nope. I'll let somebody else do that. That means more money for me later on. Going to stick to the allocations. But in this case here, I mean, the season-ending injury sucks. Jerome Ford didn't suck, though. He looked pretty darn good. 131 scrimmage yards on 19 touches, also got in the end zone. Almost had a 69-yard touchdown run, but was stopped just short of the goal line. I mean, you know, if you handcuffed, this is why we handcuff. If you go overboard at running backs early in drafts, this is why I avoid doing that. There's a lot of things we could say about drafts, but the fact of the matter is we do have to move on, and he is a priority guy. If you have a drop and you don't even need him, yeah, sure. If you have Nick Chubb, yeah, you definitely should go out and get Jerome Ford. Zach Moss, 15 to 20%. He was the only Colts running back to play an offensive snap in week two. I still think we will see Jonathan Taylor at some point. I don't know when that is, so I'm not going overboard on Zach Moss. And also remember, that was against the Texans defense. But flex plus, yes, he can be in the mix here, at least in the short term. Nico Collins at 4, 10 to 15%. 19 targets on the season, had a big week too. Jaylen Warren, 8 to 12%. He was widely dropped last week, but he is definitely worth a bench spot. I wanted to hold him in as many leagues as I could. Saw 10 touches on Monday night, one fewer than Najee Harris, but looked like the more explosive player. Tank Dell, 8 to 12%. The role is increasing as they said it was going to. 42 of a possible 47 routes run, led the team with 10 targets, caught 7 for 72 and a score. Tutu Atwell, 8 to 12%. Honestly, pleasantly surprised. My optimism for him in week two was pretty low against that defense especially. He exceeded expectations. And the thing that I like about him, obviously you like 196 yards, 13 catches on the season. But what I like about him is when Cooper Kupp comes back, I hope he comes back. But when he comes back, I really expect it to be Puka Nacua, who's rostered in over 70% of leagues. That's why I'm not mentioning him. Anybody who's over this list is like a 25 to 50% guy. Like somebody was asking me earlier about Ken Walker. Like I'd be close to 50%, if not slightly over 50% on Ken Walker. Puka Nacua, same thing. But I think it's Tutu Atwell, Nacua, and Cooper Kupp, which means Van Jefferson, who's been largely ineffective so far this season, would be the odd man out. I do think there's some sustainability here, especially because this team has thrown the ball a lot. Best tight end on the board this week, and actually now officially a tight end one for me, a top 12 guy, Hunter Henry, 8 to 12%. I mean, he's one of just five tight ends with double-digit catches. He's the number two tight end in fantasy scoring. I don't expect that to stick, but top 10, yes, and he's heavily involved. At 9 and 10, Justice Hill and Gus Edwards, 8 to 12% on both. I do still slightly prefer Hill, even though Edwards outscored him. Hill, 14 touches, Edwards, 10. Outsnapped him as well by six snaps, but they're back-to-back. They're both going to be flex options and, you know, somewhat volatile there because it's hard to predict on a week-in, a week-out basis. Josh Reynolds, 7 to 10%. Back-to-back solid games for him. Well, more than solid when you score two touchdowns. He is the number two target. He'll at least be that until Jameson Williams returns, perhaps even longer after that. Hey, Jared Goff likes himself some Josh Reynolds. Roshan Johnson at 12 in rankings here. 5 to 7%. He's not startable. Khalil Herbert's still ahead of him. But this is one of those, I'm going to tuck him on the bench in September, and we're going to see what we have in November type of moves. Rashid Shaheed, 5 to 7%. Chris Olave and Michael Thomas are ahead of him in the pecking order. But there is enough meat on the bone here for Shaheed. He's got more of a boomer bust, like Gabe Davis type profile. But I don't mind that. And actually, he's played pretty good football so far. He's really solidified as the clear number three. Luke Musgrave at 5 to 7%. Only two catches for 25 yards, but he continues to flash some upside. 18 yards after catch last week. Almost 13 air yards per target so far this season. I love the ceiling. Higher floor, lower ceiling with number 15 at tight end, Zach Ertz, 5 to 7%. Heavily involved, six catches on eight targets for 56 yards. He's really heavily involved so far, but the ceiling isn't particularly high. Jaden Reed, 3 to 5%. Only caught four balls this past week, 37 yards, but two touchdowns. Now, the role should reduce somewhat when Christian Watson returns. That's why I'm not going overboard here. Craig Reynolds, 3 to 5%. David Montgomery is banged up, so Reynolds will assume that role this week. High volume, early down guy. He's not bad. He's not Montgomery, but I could see Reynolds being a flex option for as long as Montgomery is out. And that team did elevate Zonovan Knight. Like, they signed him to the active roster, so that would indicate that this could be a couple weeks here for David Montgomery. Matt Breida, 3 to 5%. Speaking of a couple weeks, Saquon Barkley, 3 weeks is the estimated timetable here for this ankle injury. Breida is the next man up. Not Saquon Barkley. He is definitely not Saquon Barkley. He is like 80% of that, but that could still be flex worthy this week. Tajay Spears, 3 to 5%. I can't keep my eyes off this dude when he touches the football. He's still a backup, but it's another one of those guys like, toss him on the bench. A lot of implied value there with Tajay Spears. Jonathan Mingo, 3 to 5%, another implied value add. Heavily involved, eight targets this past week. The Panthers did not look good on Monday night on offense, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and toss him on a bench. Marvin Mims, 3 to 5%. I was reluctant to, I initially wasn't going to put him in, but I don't want to just focus on this week because here's the deal. He had 113 yards and a score on two catches. He ran five routes. Okay. Five routes, if he continues to do that, is not sustainable. However, what do you think the coaches are going to say when they see what he did out there? And Russell Wilson, say what you will about Russell Wilson, he has a very pretty deep ball, and if you can have somebody in this offense who can leverage that deep ball, you give that guy more reps. So I don't expect to use Marvin Mims, at least in the short term, but don't hate him on benches. Kendre Miller, 3 to 5%. Jamal Williams is banged up. We have one more week until Alvin Kamara comes back. So we could see some Miller this week make his debut. Or Tony Jones Jr., 3 to 5%. We could also see him. Of course, he scored two touchdowns on Monday night, but he really didn't do that much other than that. And he technically has already reverted to the practice squad. He's been called up twice. So this third time, after that, they either have to sign him to the active roster or release him. So there's a decision to be made there. Jalin Hyatt, 3 to 5%. Same argument as Marvin Mims. 89 yards on two catches. He gave him a pop downfield that, honestly, Darius Slayton couldn't give them, hasn't been giving them. And even though he only ran 11 routes, maybe they get the rookie more involved going forward. Jordan Love, 3 to 5%. 6 passing scores already this season. Actually flashed as a runner this past week, too. 2 carries, 23 yards. Devontae Parker, 1-3%, got back on the field, led a team in routes run, the wide receivers in routes run, 46, reception, 6, and receiving yards, 57. It's him and Kendrick Bourne that look to be the wideouts to roster. Even though Kendrick Bourne's numbers weren't good this past week, he's still heavily involved. He had 9 targets. So anyway, Taysom Hill, 1-3%. This is a one-week rental tight end play to take advantage of the running back situation. It's weird. We're connecting the dots here, but if Jamal Williams doesn't play, we should see a lot of Taysom Hill again. We saw him heavily on Monday night, 9 rushes, 75 yards in the process. That's not a bad rental play at tight end. Chase Claypool, 1-3%. Darnell Mooney's a little banged up. Claypool got in the end zone, saw 8 targets this past week. We know it's volatile with him. Same thing with Mac Hollins, 1-3%. Gave us some upside this past week, 3 for 60, almost had a touchdown as well. Sean Tucker, 1-3%. I would expect his role to increase here, not only because they want to reduce things for Rashad White a little bit, not enough to be alarmed if you have Rashad White, but also because Chase Edmonds will be out 4 to 6 weeks. Bench stash. And actually, these next 4 running backs, Tucker included, are bench stashes. Eric Gray, Pierre Strong, and Elijah Dotson also in that mix of 1-3%. Eric Gray could get a little run with Saquon out. Then again, he's also another Breda injury away from a larger run. Pierre Strong scored a touchdown, but it was after the 69-yard run from Ford, so it was more Ford was gassed than anything. Don't expect Pierre Strong to be the red zone back or anything along those lines. But again, stash worthy. And same thing with Dotson. We don't know when Austin Eckler's coming back. The team refused to give a timetable there. So he's still behind Joshua Kelly, but he is in the mix. Cade Otton and Tyler Conklin, both 1-3%. Otton got involved this past week. 6 catches, 41 yards. Not bad. Tyler Conklin involved. 5 catches, 50 yards. You could do worse at tight end. All right, some quarterbacks. These are deeper one quarterback league quarterbacks and certainly super flex quarterbacks. So Russell Wilson, Matthew Stafford, Sam Howell, CJ Stroud, Baker Mayfield. In that order of preference in one quarterback leagues, 1-3%. Not overspending on these guys there. In super flex, I'm going 25-30 on Russ, Stafford, Howell, and Stroud. I would go about 25 on Baker Mayfield. The ceiling isn't quite as high as some of the other guys there with Baker. But, I mean, Russ coming off a 300-yard game. Like that. It's going to be a bumpy ride, but I like that. Matthew Stafford honestly looks like his old self. It's actually darn impressive. So not too shabby there. Sam Howell, we know the upside with him as a runner especially, but QB10 so far in fantasy scoring. And then CJ Stroud, he almost had a 400-yard game. So they're all in the mix. Now, deeper quarterbacks, all right, Gardner Minshew, Clayton Tune, Jake Browning. I don't even know if they're addable in one quarterback leagues, but 5% is super flex because we're looking at like a one-week rental maybe with Minshew if Anthony Richardson doesn't clear concussion protocol. Clayton Tune could be in the mix if they decide to pull the plug on Joshua Dobbs, so that's a more of a preemptive. And same thing with Jake Browning. You're preemptive if you have Joe Burrow, just in case, because all starting quarterbacks should be rostered. I know the Burrow injury stuff is murky at best right now, but I would get out ahead of it if you can. Again, not doing any hold cut stuff because I have a whole easy way to determine that for you now over at FTNFantasy.com. So let's get to the defensive streamers of the week. If you have any of these defenses, first and foremost, you don't need to make a move. San Francisco, Dallas, Cleveland, the Jets, the Bills, the Eagles. Hold those defenses, no need to make a move. If you have defense in rankings, if you have like defense 14 and then you're looking, should I pick up defense 7? Nah. Do you know the difference in fantasy points between those two in projections is like 0.4, 0.5 points? It's nothing. All you're really trying to do is roster a defense that allows you to take advantage of a good matchup against a bad quarterback if you don't have one of those good defenses, okay? So here are the teams that are in the mix for me this week. Kansas City facing Justin Fields and the Bears. Fields has thrown 2 pick sixes already this season. And Kansas City looked very good against Trevor Lawrence. New England against the Jets. I don't even think I have to explain this, but Zach Wilson threw 3 interceptions last week, and he does not do well against Bill Belichick. Jacksonville, versus Houston. Now, CJ Stroud did put up those numbers last week, but I want to take advantage of this matchup for as much as I can. So I'm going to go after, you know, rookie quarterbacks. That's what I'm trying to do. And that's the same reason why I'll go with the Baltimore Ravens. If Anthony Richardson plays, I'm facing a rookie quarterback. If he doesn't play, I'm facing Gardner Minshew. So I'm not really worried one way or the other there. Kansas City, New England, Jacksonville, Baltimore. Those are my streamers of the week for week three. All right. So when it comes to waiver wires tonight, remember, don't sort by projected fantasy points. Don't sort by last week's fantasy points scored. You're going to miss a lot there. You're looking at, honestly, either last week or this week, as opposed to we want to pick these guys up ideally for the long haul. So I really suggest using a list. My waiver wire rankings are available at ftnfantasy.com with the brand new hold cut chart. It tells you exactly what you need to do to figure out if you should hold or cut a player on your roster. And it couldn't be easier. Honestly, let's keep this stuff simple. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe. And tomorrow, I will be back with week three fantasy football rankings. Man, week three already here, baby. All right, we're rolling on. I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.